Welcome to Component 4, which as you know is entitled Introduction to Information and Computer Science. This is specifically Unit 7, Part 3, which has the title Networks and Networking. This unit is made up of 5 parts. Each part or segment is approximately 20 minutes in length. In this unit, we cover a number of objectives, all of which are listed on the slide. We discussed unit objectives 1 through 3 in parts 1 and 2. In part 3, we focus on concepts related to the 4th through the 6th objectives listed. However, I will read all of the objectives listed. And so, objective 1 is to understand the history of networks and their evolution, list and describe the various types of network communications, list and describe the various forms of network addressing, including DNS. Now, we covered these objectives in parts 1 and 2. In part 3, we want to gain the ability to list and define the different types of networks, describe different network topologies, and list and describe different network standards and protocols. In subsequent parts, we'll learn to describe wireless communication, list and describe network hardware, and lastly, explain networking logical model concepts. Let's now turn our attention to network types. Networks are typically either wired or wireless. Wired networks are governed by the IEEE 802.3 standard, whereas wireless networks are governed by the IEEE 802.11 standard. It's pretty easy to remember which standard governs which technology. For example, take the 3 in 802.3 and flip it around so that it looks like an E. And you can use this little trick to remember that 802.3 sets the standard for Ethernet, which usually applies to wired networks. You can also take the 11 in 802.11. With this in mind, hold up any 2 fingers on one of your hands to emulate the antenna on a wireless access point or wireless NIC. And now you'll remember that 802.11 applies to wireless technologies. Networks are usually further described by their size. Networks with small geographical areas of coverage are referred to as LANs or local area networks. Note that the term small is arbitrary. However, a LAN is usually one company with one site. Your home network could be referred to as a LAN. Wireless LANs are called WLANs. And as I mentioned previously, LAN examples include your home, an office space, one building, perhaps one floor in a building, or a small school with 3 buildings. In a small network made up of approximately 10 devices, for these devices to be able to communicate, they need to be in the same work group. This assumes there's no server, which is managing a domain, present in this network. By default, most computers, or Windows computers, use the network name of Workgroup on all LAN devices. Notice the figure on the screen. It shows that this computer is a member of the workgroup that has the name of Home. And here we've changed it from the default name of Workgroup, always in capital letters. And this is referred to as a peer-to-peer network, since no server exists to manage the LAN. A server is a computer with special operating system software installed, and the server is able to create and manage something referred to as a domain. You can think of a domain as a gated community in which all the devices in the community are managed by the functionality of the server. And so, if a LAN has such a device available, then this is referred to as a server domain. And it uses a network name that's designated by network administrators. In fact, they can name it whatever they like. It requires a server to manage the domain, which is a LAN under common administration. So notice this is loosely defined. Only community members, or members within the gated community, can use domain resources. Community members are users and devices added to the domain by network administrators. And the server acts as a gatekeeper and keeps a database of users and devices. and it also enforces domain rules and so on. Therefore, if a device wants to print to a printer that is a member of the domain, then that the device has to be a member of the domain to use its resources. A network encompassing a large geographical area is referred to as a wide area network, or a WAN. A WAN is usually made up of more than one LAN. You might remember that a LAN is a local area network, and it has a small geographic area. In this case, we would have the same company, perhaps with multiple sites. And this WAN may or may not have internet access. Examples of WANs include a company with offices in Chicago and London, and these offices need to share servers or printers and other devices. Another WAN example is 5 Portland offices. In other words, they're in the same city, and they need to share files. Another WAN example is Intel, Dell, and Microsoft joining together because they need to collaborate on the creation of a new product. Why would they do this? Well, because a WAN facilitates intercompany communications. If a network is made up of offices in the same city, perhaps 5 offices within the same city, we might refer to this as a metropolitan area network, or a MAN. Again, the term large is arbitrary here. A MAN is, like a WAN, usually made up of at least one LAN. We might have the same company with multiple physical sites, or an office connected by fiber optic links or other high-speed media. And again, the MAN, just like the WAN, may or may not have internet access for its devices. Examples include a company with many offices in the same city or a large college campus. How a network is organized or laid out is known as its topology. 2 types of network topologies exist. Physical topology details how the network is physically designed, which is different than a network's logical topology, where we use diagrams to illustrate how data flows through the network regardless of its physical design. Some topologies represent both logical and physical networks using the same name. This seems to be slightly confusing, but when you see it in action, you'll realize the differences between logical and physical topologies. Let's start our discussion by examining physical topologies, and there are many physical topology types. The main types are shown here in a figure on the screen. We have the ring, mesh, star, a fully connected, a line, tree, and even a bus topology. Let's look at some of these in more detail. Let's start with the physical topology known as a bus. In this case, if you look at the figure, each host is connected to every other host via a single network cable with connectors. In this case, each green dot would represent a host. If the cable breaks, then the whole network goes down. Obviously, this wasn't very scalable, and it hasn't been in use since approximately the late 1990s. And so these types of networks were interconnected using a coaxial or coax cable. Each cable had 2 ends with a connector at each end. The connectors plugged into the coax cable NIC, which is installed inside of each computer. The NIC used T connectors to interconnect cables between each device. Again, if one piece of the cable in the chain was broken, the entire network stopped functioning. And coax cable, as I mentioned, went out in the mid to late 1990s and was replaced by Ethernet cable, which we're still using today. And it was replaced because Ethernet is much easier to work with and is not subject to a single point of failure as coax cable was. It's also a lot cheaper. Another type of a physical topology is known as the mesh. With the mesh topology, each host is connected to every other host in the network, usually by a switch or even a direct connection. The image on the screen shows a full mesh topology where each host is directly connected to every other host in the network. This type of physical topology usually relates to routers, not computers, because when computers are in a full mesh, they'll usually be interconnected by a switch. In other words, all of the devices will connect to the switch, not to each other. But in the case of routers, oftentimes routers are connected to many other routers. You would see this on the internet. Another physical topology is the ring. Within a ring topology, each host is connected to the network in a closed loop or ring. This is an uncommon network type found in highly secure environments. Ring topologies typically utilize what's known as an electronic token passing scheme, and this is used to control access to the network. By utilizing this type of topology or the scheme, only one machine can transmit on the network at any given time. The physical star topology is the most common topology type. This is the easiest topology type to set up and maintain. In this environment, all traffic passes through the switch, which is found at the middle or at the hub of the network. As a side note, an extended star topology is where a number of switches are connected to each other. In that case, we don't really see in the diagram the hosts, and this extends the network. In an extended star, all hosts can communicate with all other hosts, assuming design, IP addressing, and permissions exist to do so. The logical topology, in contrast to the physical, is the way that the data passes through the network from one device to the next without regard to the physical interconnection of the actual devices. In other words, we don't care where the computers or the switches are located, we just know that they're connected together. A network's logical topology is, as you imagined, not necessarily the same as its physical topology. For example, if we were using a typical Ethernet cable, we might refer to this as a logical bus in a physical star layout. The Institute of Electrical and Electronic Engineers, also known as the IEEE, creates and publishes networking and many other standards. Standardization means that products from various vendors will work together. In other words, they'll play nice. On the other hand, protocols govern communications that are used by the various products that you might install on your computer. For example, you purchase and install an Intel NIC. You'll recall that a NIC is a network interface card on your computer, and your friend installs a 3COM NIC on his computer. Both computers can communicate flawlessly over the network because both NICs adhere to the IEEE standards for network communication. Internet protocols are a global standard. This ensures interoperability between the hardware and software that might be installed on your and other computers. For example, IP, the Internet Protocol addressing, is required for home and office networks to function properly. IP addressing allows any device with Internet or network access to communicate with any other device on the Internet or within its own network. TCP/IP, which is the Transmission Control Protocol / Internet Protocol, transports HTTP across the Internet for delivery to its destination. HTTP is the hypertext transfer protocol that's used on the World Wide Web. Protocols such as HTTP allow any Internet browser or web browser to talk to any web server. Network standards include Ethernet, Token Ring, Wi-Fi, WiMAX, the Wireless Application Protocol, or WAP, the Radio Frequency Identification, or RFID, and Bluetooth. Let's talk about each of these in more detail. And let's begin our discussion by examining the Ethernet network standard. Ethernet gets its name from the physical concept of ether, back in the late 1800s, when science thought that something, which was unknown, housed light particles as these passed through the air. This was obviously wrong, but very interesting. And so, Ethernet cables and Ethernet as a standard itself was developed in approximately the time period of 1973 through 1975. and this is encompassed and promulgated in IEEE Standard 802.3. Ethernet's a standard defines the standardization and the rules that relate to wiring and signaling. And the standard defines frame formats and how large fields would be within those frames and so on. It's widely used in today's wired networking world. The Token Ring Network Standard was developed in approximately 1985, and this is part of the IEEE 802.5 standard. Token Ring is named after its logical topology, whereas its physical topology is a star. In this type of a topology, the devices connect to each other, usually by a switch. When they're connected to the switch through a cable, then communicating devices need to possess the digital or electronic token that is passed around the ring. Again, this is a logical ring, so it's passed from device to device. So a device would pass this electronic token to the switch, which would pass it to another device, and so on. Devices pass the token until they need to communicate on the network, and then hold the token until they're finished communicating. In essence, Token Ring was put out of business by Ethernet because Ethernet is much faster and easier to implement. As a side note, if you were going to use a Token Ring network type, you would have to have NICs that were built for Token Ring and so on. The Wi-Fi network standard, which began its evolution process in 1997 and continues today, relates to wireless devices. And this is based on the 802.11 standard for wireless LANs. In fact, Wi-Fi and 802.11 are synonyms. And again, this relates to the family of wireless protocols 802.11a, b, g, and the so-called Draft N protocol. The standard 802.11 defines throughput, frame formats, and so on that relate to the equipment that's used for wireless communication. As a side note, when communication is going to move from your computer onto your wireless NIC and then ultimately into the air, you have to wonder how this electronic communication gets into the air. Or, if you're using a wired connection, how does the communication from your computer move from the NIC onto a piece of wire? All of this is governed by the 802.11 standard for wireless and 802.3 for wired. And the standard here, if we stick with 802.11, defines frame formats. In other words, how are the electronic symbols or electronic communication pieces formatted so they can make the jump from your NIC onto the actual wire itself? And so for 802.11, we have 802.11a, which uses the 5.0 GHz wireless band for its communication. 802.11b and g both use the 2.4 GHz wireless band. We should note that the 2.4 GHz frequency range operates in the same range as microwaves and older telephones. And so if you were trying to have wireless communication in your home and you were running your microwave, you would receive interference, since the microwave would consume all of the bandwidth and your wireless communication might not operate as you'd expect. 802.11n, on the other hand, uses both 5.0 and 2.4 GHz frequencies for its communication, and that's why this is so much faster than the ABG 802.11 types. The WiMAX network standard was developed in approximately 2004, and it's referred to as the IEEE 802.16 standard that relates to WAN wireless networking. And this is the telecommunications protocol that provides fixed and fully mobile internet access. Notice that this is different than Wi-Fi, and the example will make this clear to you. WiMAX access was used to assist with communications in the Aceh, Indonesia area after the tsunami in December 2004. WiMAX provided broadband access that helped regenerate communication to and from this province when no other communication was available. The Wireless Application Protocol, or WAP, is an open international standard for what's referred to as application layer network communications in a wireless communication environment. And the standard describes a protocol suite, and I should note, a protocol suite is a number of protocols that are grouped together, allowing the interoperability of WAP equipment and software with many different network technologies. The concept was developed in approximately 1997 and is still at work today. Most use of WAP involves accessing the internet from a smartphone, a mobile phone, or from a PDA. The Radio Frequency Identification Standard, or RFID, incorporates the use of an RFID tag into an object and then communicates using radio waves. Most RFID tags contain at least two parts. And so first you have the circuitry itself that stores information about the item related to the RFID tag, and an antenna for sending and receiving signals. Many organizations govern this standard, such as the ISO and the IEC. You probably see RFID tags all of the time in the store when you buy clothing, expensive items, or easy-to-shoplift items. It's heavily used in the inventorying of medical supplies and medicine. In fact, in many medical offices, if you're going to remove something from a cabinet, some medicine or some piece of equipment from a cabinet, the tag itself will record its movement and even ask you to add it or remove it to inventory. The IEEE 802.15 standard that relates to Bluetooth was developed in approximately 1994 and is even evolving today. Bluetooth represents an open, wireless technology standard for exchanging data over short distances, usually about 30 to 50 feet, from fixed and mobile devices. And Bluetooth is used in devices that relate to medical implants, keyboard, a mouse. If you use a cell phone and you have a wire-free or a hands-free headset, then that headset might use Bluetooth to communicate with your cell phone.